Well, ladies, I'm going to introduce you to our listening audience out there today. And you have been in Kenya for almost 2 weeks now. And so I'm going to start with Brooke Hemmert. And Brooke, welcome to Kenya. Welcome. And as you are preparing to leave after your 2 weeks, just say hi to the folks, and then we'll get into some questions a little bit later.
All right. Hello, this is Brooke Hemmert. Thank you all for listening. And as Jim said, I'm wrapping up my 2 weeks in Kenya. It's been an incredible experience, and I'm so thankful that God has brought me here.
Okay. Thank you, Brooke. We'll get back to you in just a minute. Carrie Pilkington, you are also here today, and to say hi to the folks and tell them what brought you back to Kenya for the second time.
Hi, I'm Carrie Pilkington, and what brought me back to Kenya for the second time, I knew immediately when I was in Kenya the first time that I was needing to come back a second time. I hadn't even left yet, and I was already planning a trip with Brooke to come back, so I just have a big heart for the people here and for what you're doing.
Okay, praise the Lord. And Zephaniah, say hi to the folks. I know some of them will remember the interview that we did with you last winter. And you gave your testimony in that interview, so just say hi to the folks and tell them what you're doing today.
Hi, I'm Zephaniah Okwene Aluanga. I was with you the other time when I was in my interview, and I'm doing better, even more like I was, because I'm still serving God and still moving the grace of God. Thank you very much. Thank you.
Amen, amen. Well, we'll hear more from Zephaniah in just a minute, but as you can tell, he has a big voice. He's a preacher, so he's a big man with a big voice, and he's got a big message. So, all right, Brooke. So let me ask you, Brooke, this is your second time also to come here. What has impressed you the most this time? And I'll preface that by saying to the people out there that you girls have been in four churches now. Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Four churches?
Yeah.
Doing Bible studies with the youth and some of the elderly people or the older people as well. But what has impressed you so much about Kenya? What made you desire to come back again? And just fill the people in a little bit on that.
So like Carrie said, we knew last year when we were in Kenya that we wanted to come back right away. We were crying in the airport because we weren't ready to go back to America. So we were so excited this year when we had our summer break as teachers. We were so excited to come back. This year in particular has been very focused on building relationships within the communities of Mumias and Mayoni. We've held Bible studies with a range of people all the way from 15 years of age to 60, 65 years of age. So we've gotten to hear a lot of personal testimonies of people's endurance of their faith. And testimony upon testimony has been so inspiring to hear what the people have been through and all of the hardships that they have overcome through faith. And you can just see on their faces that that endurance has produced a lot of joy in Jesus, a lot of genuine joy that comes through endurance. So hearing this year, just their testimonies and how here in America, I think we all have it fairly easy of an upbringing compared to the people in Kenya. I mean, there are just many stories filled with hardships, and that has just inspired me that no matter what God brings us through, His power is enough to get us where we need to be in our faith. And no matter what God has blessed us with or continues to, we both have come to realize that God can stop giving us things for the rest of our life, and we can praise Him because He's already done so much for us.
Amen, amen. To that, amen. Well, while we're talking about testimonies, is there any one testimony that stands out in your mind that you'd like to share with the people, something that really impacted you?
Yeah, so one girl that we met at the Living Water Church where Pastor Jim and Zephaniah are pastors. This girl named Jessica, she grew up in a Muslim family, and she had bold enough faith to be the first person in her family to leave her Muslim religion, which was extremely hard for her because both of her parents are Muslim. She's surrounded by Muslim friends, but she just had a boldness for Jesus to break through that religious hold on her. And just seeing her joy that she has in Jesus, she sings praise and worship on Sunday. And it's just so inspiring that the Holy Spirit spoke to her and brought her out of that. And she also brought her mom Gladys to the faith. So she's being a real testimony to her family and to her friends that are all Muslim.
Okay, wow. All right, Carrie, any particular testimony that really stands out with you that really impacted you?
I would have to say Zephaniah's. As much as he's sitting right next to me and I don't want to make his head any bigger, his testimony is incredible. And he's just come from a hardship of just seeing some really wrong things happen to his family from the church, and living on the street for a period, being a Muslim for a period of time, just not really seeing where his purpose in life was and where he was going, but just persevering through that and somehow finding the Lord in all of that and seeing his goodness and his hope and everything that the Lord can offer you. Even if he didn't bring him out of those situations, he was still good. And Zephaniah knows that and is just a living, walking testament of Jesus's joy and like the Holy Spirit's joy mm-hmm. that he can fill people with. If you've ever seen his face, you would just see a smile first. And I think that's just one of the most impactful testimonies that I've heard in a long time.
Mm-hmm. Okay, wow. So, Zephaniah, you want to put your 2 cents worth in there.
Yes.
How's the last 2 weeks been for you? Have you had fun here?
Oh, yeah. This last 2 weeks have been a very short time for me because I've really enjoyed the growth that visited us from U.S., Brooke and Kerry, together with my Reverend Jim. I'm happy because you have teach me a new lesson that I couldn't figure out about the full armor of the Lord, because mm-hmm. I've learned about it and now I'm ready for war, because I know it's war, it's really war. Because something happened, you can remember the testimony I shared last time, we experienced this war in our family when my dad was a pastor, but now we had no weapons. We were not able to raise our weapons so that we can fight that war. That's why some of us, we were running away, doubting and trying to look down and trying to kill our sides to the Lord. But for now, we are ready for war, actually. And I thank God for the church because it's growing and we are winning Muslims and reckless people. And we always tell them to get ready for the battle, because the war is long and we need to have all the full armor of the Lord. And also I've seen some miracles happening because we have been praying for people, they receive healing. We have been encouraging some families because they come to pass those challenges, and now because of the encouragement, they win that war. And we have been telling them we choose, it's good to serve the Lord. It's good to be happy to serve the Lord because he saved us just from his mercy and his grace. We didn't pay him anything just to save us. So he's saving us to enjoy eternity together with him. Amen. Thank you.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. So tell just a little bit about the church, Carrie or Brooke, either one. Tell just a little bit about your impressions of the church. Not just the Living Water Church that we have, but the other three churches that you have been in this week.
I think we can both say that Kenyan Church and American Church are two very different things. On total polar opposite sides of the spectrum. American churches are very into the church building looking pretty and everyone doing what they're supposed to be without causing too much attention to themselves or anything of that kind. They don't want to stand out or look silly in any way. We're in Kenya. You are in a tin building usually that has dirt floors and just some curtains up, and people are just jumping and shouting and worshiping and speaking in tongues and just like totally immersed in what the Holy Spirit is doing in that moment and not worrying about anything else, not worrying about anything other than what the Holy Spirit is and who he is to them and what he's showing them and what he's teaching them. And so it's just a totally different atmosphere going to church here than going to church in America.
Mm-hmm. Brooke, you want to share what your impressions of the church are here?
Yeah, I would agree with Carrie. Just the structure of the church really fully does allow the Holy Spirit to work. In America, we're so structured mm-hmm. with our timing. We sing usually two worship songs to begin. Then we give the pastor a certain amount of time to preach, and then we end with the worship song. But here it's honestly what the Holy Spirit is leading us to do that week, and just seeing that is so inspiring. To just have that focus on God truly for that amount of time on a Sunday and not be worried about what we have next going on or worried about getting to our buffet line on time after church, but truly just going to worship the Lord with other believers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Wow, the church in Kenya is alive. It's vibrant. Mm-hmm. The culture here is vibrant. That's a lot of it. But also the church here is vibrant. What do you see as the needs for the church here and the believers here? What do you see as their greatest need?
Bibles.
Doctrine.
Teaching, too.
Yeah.
A lot of people, just like in America, come to church and claim Christianity, but then go out into the world and live a totally different life. So just a need of good teaching and good doctrine that is really like instilled in their hearts that they can take to a culture that doesn't necessarily live that same way. Knowing that everyone around you and your government and your entire culture is corrupt and stealing and cheating, that doesn't mean that you need to be a part of that culture and you need to be a part of that world. So just being able to really instill like good teaching in them and Bibles for them to be able to read on their own and really let the Holy Spirit be revealed to them through that. I think those are some of the biggest needs.
Yeah, and also a need is just to produce pastors who are leading the church for the right reasons. There can be a lot of corruptness in the leadership of the church, so just instilling all those good doctrines from the member perspective, but also from the pastor perspective is super important as the pastors are the ones leading the church in the direction.
Okay, Zephaniah, you want to just tell briefly about the program we have to get people Bibles out there in our church in Makunda? Do you want to tell people about that?
Yes, we thank God for so far, together with my reverend, God reveals to him that we should make a way on how we can raise money to buy Bibles for the people, because we always preach for them. And they need some Bibles also to get reference, and they can keep themselves busy reading those Bibles. So we always raise the offerings. Sometimes we raise offering, and from the offering money, we buy Bibles. Sometimes we get little money, but because we promise Bibles, we need to look on our pockets and try to raise money, because we need to fulfill what we said and what we promised. So it has been a hard time for our reverends because he gives him his heart high and big support, because we want to see people changing and want to see people having their promise being fulfilled, and so having Bibles back to their homes so that they can read and they can have home study of the scriptures.
Amen. Well, that brings up a good point. We'll have some contact information at the end of this session, how you can contribute to Bible purchases and other aspects of the ministry, but that is the bedrock of what we're doing in Kenya here and really all over East Africa where I've preached, is people need to have sound doctrine. They need to know God's word.
Yes.
And so
yes,
many, many people don't have Bibles, and they need Bibles. So we'll talk about that at the end of the session. All right. So 2 weeks ago or so on Friday night, the first few days you were here, we stayed up all night, and we were not howling at the moon.
We weren't partying.
No,
we were praising.
What were we doing? Do you want to tell about the Keisha?
Yes, we went to our first Keisha last Friday or the Friday before, the first Friday we were here.
Yeah.
And a Keisha is where you stay up from 9 p.m. until 5 in the morning. And this was a really cool, I guess I've never been to one to compare one to, but they brought in like a really amazing worship band.
Junior high locked in.
Yeah, basically. Yeah. They brought out the big guns. There was like three or four different preachers there.
Yeah.
And a really amazing worship team that came in. And it was not a dull night, you could say that. People were dancing and jumping, and there was a congo line at one point. They were dancing in a line, and it was just amazing. I mean, obviously there's not a lot in America that goes on that looks like that people are willing to give up that amount of time and that amount of sacrifice of sleep and things that are comfortable and important to them. To stay up all night and praise and worship Jesus and just be spending that kind of committed time in prayer.
Yeah, and God loves worship, so it was just incredible to see the atmosphere and just to feel the presence of the Holy Spirit We saw an awesome miracle take place, which was just cool to be a part of and witness. And going home at 5 in the morning, I was still awake when I was going to bed. And I was not even tired. I was just that pumped up in the spirit. And so just witnessing that and feeling that presence was just life-changing for the both of us.
Actually, that Kesha was really nice. And that's how we can run a prayer night to be easy. Because when you allow the will of the Lord to drive Kesha, it comes good. Because we see how the gifts of the Holy Spirit were operating and how the fruits of the Holy Spirit also, they were working. Because things were working and they were moving. Actually, night was really was truly short. Mm-hmm. It was very short.
Yeah. Went very quickly, didn't it?
Yeah.
Okay, well, praise the Lord. Well, tell the people about the new sound system we have at our church here at Living Water.
Oh, yes. We thank God for this far because we have new instruments, because we have been clapping only hands. We have been clapping hands for this time, being faithful, serving the Lord, praying and asking His blessings. And last week, by God's grace, we have found new instruments, and we are really glad. And we hope that many youth, they are going to come for training, and they are going to come to learn about playing instruments, and they are going to come for Christ. That's how we are going to win some youth back to Jesus, because we have so many youth, they like music. Mm. Now we are going to use music to attract them, to bring them to Christ, because that's the best gift you can give for the youth.
Amen. Well, we had 60 last Sunday with the children and adults and youth. We had 60 people, and many of them, 8 or 10 of them, want to jump up and sing with the worship team. And, and we have a couple of keyboard players, one guitar player, the Mzunga. Anyway, we're very, very thankful for the sound system. We're thankful for the people in America that donated for us to be able to purchase that sound system.
Yeah.
So, well, tell a little bit just about the cultural aspects of not just being here in Kenya, but coming and, you know, and the shock of the change of cultures, but also what's it like to live around here on a daily basis?
Well, we each have about 100 mosquito bites, so that's a change from Kansas.
Are you sure it's not 200?
No, just thank goodness for malaria pills, that's all we can say. But the culture is just so fun to be a part of. Just a couple nights ago, we got to make a homemade meal with a family here in Kenya, and that was just an incredible experience to see the time and the patience that goes into cooking good meals here in Kenya. No preservatives, no fast food restaurants. So to be a part of that process was just awesome. And probably the biggest difference for me is their management of time. We hold Bible studies and people will show up a couple hours late or 45 minutes late. And in America, that just doesn't happen. So while we think it's a problem, for some reasons it can be good, because here in Kenya, they really value relationships with other people. If you see someone down the street, it's not okay just to wave. You have to stop and have a conversation with them. And I think we lack that in America, that relational skills between the people. Like Zeph and I were driving down the road on his Boda motorcycle, and if he sees a friend, we have to turn around and go talk to them. So just the way they manage time and the way they value relationships has been the biggest difference in culture for me.
Gary, tell what you were specifically making there at the family's house that we went to visit.
We were making chapati, which the best way to describe it is just a big tortilla, but it's just a little bit thicker and tastes different. Like,
sweeter.
It's a little sweeter. So we got to make chapati from scratch, which involves really simple ingredients of just flour and water and salt.
Sugar.
And so, we got to roll it out all by hand. We got to mix the dough. And as Brooke was saying, no preservatives. We took a chicken straight from the coop and had it for dinner. So, it is farm to table, that's for sure. So, yes, we made chapati and we had chicken stew, and it was really special to be able to be a part of the whole process and really be immersed in the culture.
So what would you say is your favorite food that you've encountered here, the favorite foods you like to eat here?
Well, Brooke and I are very big on the chips and cuckoo, which is just chicken and french fries, but we also really like beef stew, and chapati is our is a good second favorite.
Yeah. I love all the fresh fruit. So you can just go to a fruit stand and buy watermelon and pineapple and fresh mango. I love the fresh fruit here.
Well, Zephaniah, he likes ugali. Tell him what tell him what ugali is, Zephaniah.
Yeah, ugali. We found ugali from maize. That's the best meal we have in Africa because
Mzungu sing differently.
Yeah, but it's a challenge for Mzungu. But that's the best food we like because it gives us energy and strength. And actually, when you get from your mother's womb, they just start giving you porridge that is from maize meal, and also they start to give you ugali and then breastfeeding. So that's how you'll survive from beginning, and now you grow in the same meal. So it becomes like African meal. So that's the best food.
What do you like to eat with your ugali?
Oh yeah, ugali. It's good to eat with meat. When you eat with meat, that's it's going to taste. You'll feel the taste of it. But most of time, because people sometimes it's not easy to raise meat money because it sometimes looks expensive. Then we can eat meat once in a week or once in a month. And then you'll be eating with cow peas and sukuma wiki, kinds of vegetables, because you can use them to eat with ugali, because ugali alone, actually, you cannot eat because it's really hard.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you can take tea also with ugali. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, well, we have been out at the Living Water Orphanage site or children's home site just about every day doing something. We haven't done too much farm work this time because most of the farm work is over for now. The crops are in maturity. The maize is starting to mature. Mm-hmm. But just tell us, ladies, what you think about the Living Water Children's Home. We'd like to entice some people maybe to come over and help after we get the children there. And just tell us, tell them what you think about that.
I think it's beautiful, and if I were in Kenya, that's where I would want to live. It's just, the farm is awesome, and just being able to experience all that goes into producing your home environment in Kenya is there, and it's what you need. The building is beautiful. All it's waiting for are some kids to be in there, and I can just picture those kids being so happy on the farm, helping with chores, gathering the eggs from the chicken, helping water the trees. Jim has planted some more fruit trees, which is going to be awesome when they come into bloom too.
Yeah.
The orphanage is gorgeous. We love spending time out there. It's where we had our Bible studies this week. And it's awesome too that they started the church out there because it's a great environment for that as well.
Yeah,
it is a beautiful building sitting there in Kenya. We've been to many towns here and I don't think I've seen a building that looks anything like it. Bonnie, who's the caretaker there, he has some kids that are sitting in on our Bible study and just seeing them play around on the porch and just running through the yard is just like such a glimpse of what the future is going to hold for that place. And Brooke and I don't know when we're coming back, but we know we're coming back when there's some kids in that house because it's going to be amazing.
Yeah.
Well, we've had two people, Bonnie and one of his children, that had dreams that the children were running around the children's home compound. So we have the report from the Lord on that, that children are going to be there. And for an update of what's happening, we're in the registration process. We just filed a petition in Nairobi last week that will hopefully ensure that we can get the children's home registration that we've been seeking for a couple of years. And then we can get started with the intake of children. Hopefully, eventually, maybe 20 children, maybe 25. We'll see what the Lord brings and what the house will hold. But that's kind of what our target is at this point. Well, we're about out of time here. We've got another minute or two. Just give us some last minute impressions and maybe encouragement for anybody out there listening today that may want to possibly come to Africa or maybe entertaining the idea of coming. Mm. Just give a little bit of encouragement and closing remarks.
So Brooke and I didn't know if we were going to be able to come back, but we knew we needed to. And if you have any piece of you that's like, oh, that sounds like an amazing thing to be a part of, or that sounds like something I would want to do, or I feel like the Lord is calling me to do, He will make it happen. Finances are, mm-hmm. Brooke and I both raised enough money and extra to come for this trip just by asking our friends and family. Two years in a row, in like less than 6 weeks, we made enough money to come. Finances are not going to be your issue. You need to put your trust in God and He'll make it happen. We have so many people say, oh, that sounds like so much fun. I really want to go. I wish I could go. There shouldn't be anything that's holding you back from just taking that step and just going, because yeah, the safety is not a problem. The whatever fear you have inside of you, that's what's holding you back. Just pray for God to take that off of you, because it's been such a life-changing experience for us to go through together, and to go through a gym and just meet such amazing people here that just truly are loving and seeking the Lord and just have joy in such times of trial and hardship.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree with all that Carrie said. And also, God loves people of all nations. So it's just been so impactful to see people from different cultures and know that Jesus died for all of these people that were seen. Mm-hmm. And even though they live life differently than me and much harder than me, like, we're all part of the same holy nation. So it's just been awesome to see how God works through these people that are different than me. And Carrie and I both take back a piece of Kenya with us when we go. We love sharing stories with our students and with our friends and with all of our church members. So like Carrie said, if you have any reservations, don't let that hold you back, because saying yes will absolutely build your faith and will bring you closer to God through all of this. So just say no to any fear that's holding you back and take that bold step forward.
Amen. Right. Stephanie, do you want to say goodbye?
Yeah, thank you. Thank you very much. We are blessed with the group that has come. We are blessed and we thank God, because each and every person in Mumias is happy, because even today we went to visit street boys and they are happy because they have something. They have the word of God. They have food to eat today. So they will not sleep hungry. They will remember this day. So your visit has been a blessing to us, because you have changed our minds. You have given us spiritual food and encouragement. So now we're going to move ahead without waiting. So we are going to move ahead. Thank you very much.
Amen. Amen. Well, thank you all for joining me on this interview. And if you are listening today and your curiosity or your zeal has been stirred up and you think you'd like to come to Africa, just drop me an email, pureprairie@hotmail.com, pureprairie@hotmail.com. Let me know what you're thinking. We have some other teams that are possibly lining up to come different times during the year. And so you can jump in with one of them if you're by yourself. And so we invite all of you to participate. You're either going to be a sender or you're going to go, one of the two. And we appreciate those who have sent, those who can't go that have sent. We appreciate them. And we appreciate those who have come. And this is now about the fifth or sixth team that has come over here in the last 3 years. So we're very thankful for you ladies, thankful for your sacrifice and for the money that you raised. We're thankful for Zephaniah for his commitment to see that we get around and see that we're taken care of. And so that is the wrap-up for this summer's mission. And so stay tuned for contact information. You can receive a book. If you make a nice donation, you will receive a book in the mail. And so we invite you all to participate with Gather the Outcast Ministry. Thank you for listening. God bless you. Tune in again next week. Have a great week.